Goody, cucumber water.
Nope, this is fresh water from Oprah's estate in Maui with mushrooms from her private bog in the Pyrenees Mountains.
Oh my God, it tastes like candy.
Know what they say, a mushroom from Oprah's bog is better than anything from anywhere else.
Ugh, I didn't know that they said that. The only thing that would make this any better is some hot goss.
Very well. Our story begins when I ran into Robbie Williams, Heidi Klum, and the remaining members of Fifth Harmony at the Dolce & Gabbana Spring Show.
Hate him, loathe her, over them, cancel it, tell me everything.
TBTL!
Let me give you a little motto I live my life by. You gotta hit it and quit it. No ties, tangle free. Nobody tells me what to do. I gotta go bang, bang, bang the drum.
What? That's not a motto. That's just you saying a bunch of things.
Sometimes a little comic relief is the best way to deliver a serious message.
In 1971, Bill Gates invented Microsoft. Wouldn't it be cool if I could remember my dingus password for my email?
The story of this situation is it's extremely personal.
Well, all right. Hello, good morning. Welcome, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
This whole conversation bothers me.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host, coming to you today from Bel Air, California. That's right. I started out in West Philadelphia. That's where I was born and raised. I think you know how much time I spent on the playground, but now I'm here in Bel Air. And I'll tell you what, it's a real fish out of water situation. So many norms that I just don't understand that go on here in the Bel Air, California region of, I guess, Los Angeles. Is Bel Air its own city? I don't know. It's what it says on the stationery here.
California got sunshine.
And it do got sunshine, everybody. It's already like 85 degrees or something. And I am, as they say, very here for it. And happy that you all are here for episode 3016 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
We like to try to bring you on this program just the absolute, just the tip of the spear of pop culture. You know, we're able to forecast, we're able to see trends on the horizon, and we go and we identify those trends and we bring them back to you, and then you're able to use that information in your real life. It's a real service we provide, which is why we have a quiz today on which Rooney said it, Andy Rooney or Mickey Rooney. I can already sense this is going to be a hot mess. Hopefully it will be a delightful hot mess. Which Rooney said it? Also, Halloween is not far away on the calendar, and our favorite internet funny man, Demi Adijuibe, look at me saying names. Demi Adijuibe has put out his annual list of possible Halloween costumes that we will offer to you via the internet. That is to say, via this podcast on the internet, so you might get a cool idea for what you could dress up as this year. All that, plus emails, V-mails, and this guy, really the Carlton to my Will Smith, the longest-running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships.
Isn't he the best?
He sure is. He's Andrew Walsh, and he's joining me right now from, I assume, the rainy confines of the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my friend.
Oh, my God. No, it is beautiful here today. In fact, I was just looking at the weather. The only place that is more beautiful than Seattle right now is Bellingham, Washington, the city of subdued excitement. They say this is a once-in-a-lifetime beautiful day in Bellingham. It's just a shame that you have to be down in L.A. cavorting with your Hollywood stars.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, I happen to have access, not to brag, I happen to have access to a weather app on my telephone, and I'm looking at it, and you're right, it's 80 degrees in Bellingham.
Wait, hold on, what? Huh? Wait, I got to go up there. Hold on. Is the pool open?
Yeah, you didn't expect me to take your joke and run with it.
Oh, no, it's hoisted by my own pajoke.
and we've got a show title. God, it's so early in the program.
How are things going down in L.A.? Have you met Danny Trejo yet? And have you asked him how he got his start in Snickers commercials?
No, but it's funny because right before we started recording TBTL today, I had to record some voiceover from being at that candy factory. And I was just talking about Snickers a lot to myself here in the hotel room. And then I guess that will be on TV at some point. I haven't met Mr. Trejo yet because the way the shooting schedule worked out, so this is the Wednesday edition of the program, but we're actually recording it on Tuesday because tomorrow is going to be from early in the morning until late at night shooting, and I wouldn't have a chance to record this, and I would miss you, Andrew, if I couldn't do this with you. So I'm going to go meet Danny Trejo for the first time. And I'm wondering, should I do the interview shirtless? Is that too bold for CBS Sunday Morning? Or is that just the right amount of boldness?
This is embarrassing because this just, I guess, underscores the fact that I've never watched any of your commentaries or pieces before. But how do you usually do them?
Usually
wear a shirt or a jacket or something?
I'll wear like a tank top or some sort of spank. But I mean, I'm half joking, but I'm kind of not, because like the thing with Danny Trejo is he's known for some reason being shirtless a lot, whether it's in his movies or even he saved a little kid from a car wreck in LA a few months ago and the local TV station showed up. Dude is like 78 years old. I'm not exaggerating. He is in his 70s, like late 70s. And he's just standing there shirtless, like having just saved some kid from a horrible fiery wreck. And I think it would be kind of funny if I listen. There are times in my life where I would be like, my shirt off is, it's not great, but it's not the worst. This is not one of those times. If I were to somehow take my shirt off as even a joke around Danny Trejo, because it's kind of his brand, it would be me being probably as vulnerable as I have ever been in my life in any of the formats I work in, because it would be. It's just an albino mudslide, the madness that is my upper torso. It is just a mess right now. So I would be doing it purely for comic effect, but not in the way that I do sometimes where I do something that seems sort of embarrassing, but I'm trying to control just how embarrassing it is. Like if I took my shirt off, it would be like shocking and maybe funny, but it would be also very embarrassing.
Would you kind of – you would do a setup for it then in the interview. You wouldn't just show up shirtless and like that be the joke.
No,
because
it's not the Daily Show.
I was going to say, like, if you were interviewing like Matthew McConaughey and just showed up shirtless, that would be pretty funny, because that's a person who I always think of. Like that's like a number one thing is like shirtless, bongos, and Lincoln Town Cars. Yeah. Those are the first three things I think of.
Well, he has a
Trejo,
shirt allergy,
I think of,
which is really sad.
Yeah, and then Trejo, who, I mean, obviously I shouldn't weigh in on this because I just admitted on yesterday's show or the day before that I didn't really know who he was until that Snickers commercial. You know, I think of axes, I think of mustaches, and I think of, like, kind of tough guy. The shirt thing is there. Do most people – is that a number one go-to thing is, I guess, the question.
I think that he's pretty closely identified with being shirtless. I think he's again, when that traffic accident happened and when he saved that kid, a lot of the conversation around the press interview was Danny Trejo is shirtless again right now. Like, I think a lot of people talk about it. But yeah, I don't even know what the setup would be. And honestly, like, I even for me, and I mostly trade in being like in self-deprecation and basically in embarrassing myself on television. I think even for me, and really, let's be honest, for our producer, I think it would probably be a bridge too far. And maybe for Danny Trejo. I mean, it's very possible that he would be offended by that. I'm assuming he'd be fine with it, but maybe he'd be like, this is now a hostile interview because you, sir, are shirtless and it offends me.
I'll tell you what, if you do that, though, the people at CBS will never let you interview Harvey Keitel because...
Is that his thing,
really
too?
There was a time in the 90s where Harvey Keitel was never seen
not
in a movie.
Nude.
Not nude.
He was a never not nude.
Exactly. He was a never not nude. Wow, a lot of show titles.
Yeah, right, because he was like in The Piano, that Jane Campion movie where he was being naked. I wonder if he could still play that role. Was he playing somebody who was sort of Maori or a Pacific Islander in that movie? I know he had some tattoos. Maybe he was a white guy who had sort of taken on the tattoos. If he was supposed to literally be playing somebody who's a different race than he is, I don't know if that would still fly. But then also Bad Lieutenant, right?
Yeah, that's the one that I'm thinking of, because I hadn't seen The Piano, although that's a famous scene. But Bad Lieutenant is definitely one that I saw. I think I liked that movie.
Bad Lieutenant?
Bad Lieutenant. I remember being very gritty, but I kind of liked it. Basically, you know, especially during that period, I liked any movie that didn't follow the same kind of predictable beats of a Hollywood movie. And pretty sure that one broke a few tropes.
But then they're in Bad Lieutenant 6 now, and they just all star Nicolas Cage. And they all make, like, I think they actually make okay money at the box office.
Wait, hold on. Where does the facts end and jokes begin? Are you serious? They kept making Bad Lieutenants?
There's another, there's called Bad Lieutenant Winds of New Orleans or something, and it's like starring Nicolas Cage. Look it up.
I really hope it's called The Winds of New Orleans.
It's like Port of Call, New Orleans or something.
I didn't realize this. Port of Call, New Orleans. Yep, you're absolutely right. So it's part of this. And he's playing the Keitel character, huh? He's playing the titular bad lieutenant.
I haven't seen the movie. I generally try to swerve on most Nick Cage projects at this point. Although I do look at a lot of gossip rags about his marriages and then his annulments in Las Vegas. I do find that sort of fascinating. And he showed up, Nick Cage showed up somewhere, apparently very intoxicated, singing karaoke recently. And I wish I could remember the song he was singing, but it just felt like really on brand for Nicolas Cage. And just like the look, like Nicolas Cage, very drunk, doing karaoke, looks, people were of course taking some pictures. It looks exactly like you would think it would look. And it was interesting because he was apparently alone. And I thought to myself, I can absolutely see myself doing this in another version of my life, like showing up very drunk in some LA place by myself and doing karaoke. And it made me thankful that I'm not famous enough that people would know to take pictures of me.
I think that should be something you're proud of, by the way, whether you actually did it or want to do it. And somebody took photos of you doing karaoke alone. I wouldn't be any more embarrassed of that than if somebody took photos of me going to the movies alone or even eating lunch alone, although I'd never want to see a photo of me eating anything. So it's one of the main reasons I'm not getting married, the whole cake situation. But no, I don't think there's any shame in doing stuff that you enjoy alone. I love bowling alone, as I've said many times on this show, because you don't have to wait for other people and you get into a rhythm. I also like bowling with people, but, you know. Anyway,
you know,
by the way, quick
really,
aside,
yeah, but that's
can
a really
I just mention
point.
On Bad Lieutenant? It's a it is neither a sequel nor a remake, Bad Lieutenant Port of Call New Orleans. It's just it stands on its own, and it was made by Werner Herzog.
Yeah, it's just a different Bad Lieutenant.
I guess so.
But they're unrelated. Are they from the same Lieutenant verse?
According to Herzog, it's the only commonality is a corrupt policeman as the central character.
And the title, Werner.
And the title. Both were produced by Edward R. Pressman, though.
That's like
I
saying
don't know.
We're making a movie called Ghostbusters. And
right.
The only overlap with the other Ghostbusters is that it's five people who ain't afraid of no ghost.
Right. Exactly. I had an idea for a movie this weekend. I Ain't Afraid of No Ghost Protocol. It would be like a mashup of the Mission Impossible universe and the Ghostbusters universe. I was talking to Veeves about it. Can't remember how well that one was received.
That's actually perfect, Andrew, because that's going to, when we get to top stories, that's sort of right in line with some of these Halloween costume ideas that that Demi put on the internet. These great John Travolta-tron, which is a combo costume of five different John Travolta roles.
Uh-huh.
That would be, what would you do as a John Travolta-tron? Like, so maybe the shoes from Staying Alive and
I think of Pulp Fiction first, and Welcome Back, Kotter are the two. Those are the two I think of right away that might be.
How about the Santa Cruz? Isn't he wearing a Santa Cruz University T-shirt in Pulp Fiction?
Oh, yeah, after he gets hosed down.
Yeah, so, that would be funny. And then maybe the bell-bottoms from Staying Alive. And
what about at the Oscars flubbing somebody's name?
What about being the voice of Look Who's Talking 2?
That's right. Oh, shoot.
So a diaper? Is that how you portray him being that?
Wait a second, though. Isn't that Bruce?
One of them was Bruce Willis. Oh. He was the first one. And I think the sequel, Look Who's Talking 2, Port of Call, New Orleans, which shares nothing with Look Who's Talking 1, I believe was John Travolta.
Let's see.
What do you say we go out and get some Carvel?
Yep.
I got the time if you got the diapers.
So that would be
John
Travolta.
So he's playing,
John
Travolta is playing the adult in that, and Bruce Willis is playing the baby. Is that right?
What do you say we go out and get some Carvel?
I got the time if you got the diapers.
Do you think that I guess they couldn't have been in a studio together. Do you think Bruce Willis was off camera? saying the lines of the baby to John Travolta so he could really stay in the moment.
It was the most economical way of doing it. You know what is a shame? The fact that the reason I have these drops is not only did you and I watch this movie,
oh, right.
We watched it so that we could do an entire podcast for a pod crawl.
Yeah.
So that we did a whole TBTL breaking down that movie, and I can't tell you anything about it other than those drops.
And I forgot that John Travolta's not a baby in it.
And I know that Roseanne Barr's in it because doesn't which one is hers?
I'm only one, and I know that's not funny.
That's a good drop, by the way. We got some really good drops out of a really bad movie.
Yeah. I wonder why they haven't asked us to do any more of those pod crawls.
I don't know.
Could it be our incredible inattention to detail? That's what we're known for.
Maybe.
All right. Beep, beep, ribby, ribby. Let's take a break.
Hey, that's an idea.
This is already just one of those weird shows that I'm enjoying. I don't know if the listeners are, but I have to tell you, I don't like to, well, I try to low key these things because I want to be hashtag relatable to the listeners, Andrew, but I don't know what the heck happened, but they put me in a hotel room that I am never leaving. It's at the Beverly Wilshire. Which is,
oh God!
It's the hotel from Pretty Woman. It's just the place that CBS has a rate here. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, it was the most affordable option for staying in LA this week, which is shocking. And I got here, and they said, "Oh, we were able to upgrade you." I was like, "Wow, thanks!" And I'm like in an apartment or something. And
oh my God,
it's really like it's some Beverly Hills Cop stuff. I'm stealing a lot of robes. I'm putting a banana in the tailpipe. I'm doing
What's
all
the
of
banana
it.
Situation. Yeah. I saw the inside of one of those rooms once. I don't think it was a suite like it sounds like you have. But I remember Dan Pashman was put up there for one of his book tours, and I was living in LA at the time, and we met for a drink downstairs, and of course he found an excuse to drop something off upstairs so I could see what it's like to live in the lap of luxury. And I don't blame him. I would have done it too.
Yeah, like there are on both sides of the bed, they put out like a It was basically like a not a tablecloth, but what's the smaller like a placemat. There's something that basically looks like a cloth placemat on each side of the bed with slippers in a bag that says slippers, so that I guess you don't have to stand on the regular carpet with your feet. Like I don't know what the you wear the slippers over to the tiny placemat. You stand on it, you take the slippers off, you get into your sumptuous bed, and then when you get out of bed, you can put the slippers back on. And like I assume this is usually the Sultan of Brunei is staying here, and his feet are never meant to touch regular carpet.
Well, that could make sense. I mean, if you're somebody who's concerned about, like, just, you know, sharing carpet in a hotel room. As a matter of fact, this is going to send you into a spiral where you'll never stay at a hotel where you don't have this anymore, because the idea of, like, walking on your bare feet on a communal carpet where hundreds of people have been, thousands of people have been before you, probably ekes some people out. And so, therefore, you have the slipper situation, and then your feet never have to touch anything that hasn't been washed. Like that mat, I assume, if it's not disposable, it's very washable. I assume.
You know what? I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. The problem with this is now any hotel room I stay in that's not like this is just going to be a real letdown. That's how my brain works.
Right, exactly.
When I flew down yesterday, again, I said I'm trying to be more relatable to the audience, and this is I'm going in the opposite direction. But when I flew down here, it was a pretty empty flight, and it was from Everett to LA, which is not – I don't think it's a super busy route yet. So I was in first class. And the funny part was I had – found that out a while before the flight because there was just not that many people in line for it. And I was in my quote-unquote favorite seat up there. And then when I was about to get on the plane, I looked down at the app and the seat had changed. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And of course, it was like I had to spend the flight reminding myself that it's fine that I didn't have my little special favorite seat, that now I was on the aisle. And now that everyone around me had closed their shade, which kind of bums me out. That's what I realized I like about being on the window is – I like to look out the window, and if all the shades are closed, I feel kind of a little bit motion sick because I was just in this tube, and I couldn't look outside and sort of orient myself. And also, by the time they got – I was in the back row, which is fine. There was also no food. By the time they got to me, they were like, do you want a turkey burger? Mm. And I was like, oh, no, thanks. Do you have anything else? And they were like, nope. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was like – again, these are not even first-world problems. These are like – you know, whatever above a first world problem is. But it was actually a good opportunity for me because I had a lovely time. I got some work done. And I reminded myself that the journey for me, and I've talked about this on the show a lot, the journey for me is not to get to the front row of first class. The journey for me is to just figure out how to be happy if I'm in the back row of coach and to just like turn off that part of my brain that's just constantly analyzing, am I maximizing this experience right now? That being said, I will never walk on carpet again.
Yeah, understood. Understood. I will have slippers ready for you when you come over here.
Thank you, would you? And I took a picture of my special slipper placemat. Maybe we can use that for the show pick.
Yes, that sounds good.
All right, let's do this. Take a quick break, and then we come back. We'll thank some donors of the day. We'll do some top stories. Which Rooney said it? The new hit quiz that's sweeping the nation of TBTL is coming up as well, so stay with us.
DJ, I want everybody to stop what they doing. Now, if you know yo is somebody that you gonna take to the hotel room tonight, make some noise. Meet me at the hotel room. Meet me at the hotel room.
Don't walk on the carpet. We've got slippers for that. I know that I'm not in time with the music, but...
I wonder if Pitbull has ever stayed in the same room as you.
Mr.
He seems
Worldwide?
Like he'd be staying there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the time. He actually left his moisturizing cream in the bathroom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I saw a skit where he was making fun of him. It was kind of a listener sent it to me. I can't remember what the... what the troop was or what the outlet was. I feel like it was relatively recent. It was Comedy Central. And I got to say, it did make me like him a little bit more. The skit went on too long, but that's not his fault. And it was very self-aware. It was about him literally realizing that he's a douche. Mm-hmm. Like, as they're... have you seen this? Does this ring
no,
a bell? And
but-
he's going around suddenly seeing himself through the eyes of everybody else and how he comes off. And he's, like, really struggling with it.
Is it true that he's rebranded himself Mr. Bonvoy? In a corporate tie-in.
I think that, by the way, would be genius, and that's what they should work on. We have a listener who's doing Bonvoy-related yeah. stuff now, right?
Yeah.
She should try to pitch that idea at her new job.
Absolutely. Let's thank the donors of the day. These wonderful, generous people are paying $0 towards this hotel room. I want to be very clear about that. That's the wonderful, generous viewers of CBS television, I think. These folks are making the show possible, and they are Megan Johnson... of El Segundo, California.
Hmm.
Megan, get at me.
Say it. Say it. Say it.
Bonvoy?
I left my Bonvoy in El Segundo.
I left my Bonvoy in El Segundo. I got to get it. I got to get it. Wow, I told myself I wasn't going to do it, and then I did it. Lindsay Joy of Palo Alto, California. Get at me, Lindsay. I'm just south of you by... a couple thousand miles. Daniel Kuntz of Little Rock, Arkansas. We met Danny when we were swinging mm-hmm. through the South. Annette Melton of Burien, Washington. Deadly Potusik of Southbury, Connecticut. Deadly Potusik. Deadly donated to the show last year. So you'd think I'd be better at saying their name, but apparently it's a work in progress. And then Joseph, for me that is, I think Dadley's name has been decided and it's not a work in progress. Joseph Sullivan of Seattle, Washington, thank you as well. Joseph, Dadley, Annette, Daniel, Lindsay, and Megan, thank you for your generosity. I was just thinking yesterday as, you know, the, I don't know, 1,000th charge of $10.99 went out of my checking account for some Hulu-related or... Apple mm-hmm. storage and whatnot. And I just thought, boy, that happens all the time, doesn't it? And it does. And these listeners have decided to have one of those donations go out of their account every month to support TBTL. And we really appreciate it. We would not be here doing the show without you. So thank you so much. Also, if you guys could kind of maybe kick in a little bit more money, I just found out that I'm in a bit of a financial tight spot, Andrew. I literally got during the break, I got an email from NPR. Invoicing me.
NPR?
National Public Radio just invoiced me for the use of a photo of me from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me for a TV piece. So
what? Are you shitting me?
So I did this little that skateboard commentary thing that aired the other day. It also it used a still shot of me doing Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me because I referenced it on the show when I on the okay. commentary because I met Tony Hawk. And so it's me. We don't have a picture of me and Tony Hawk together, but it was a picture of me doing Wait, Wait to establish that I had done it at some point. And they just, NPR sent the picture to CBS, but they're invoicing us now for the use of it. And it is, how much do you think NPR charges for a picture of Luke Burbank to be on television?
Well, I know that photography is expensive. Like when we have for American Public Media, I have a login where I can use Getty images and it's, you know, part of a package. But I know if you try to buy a Getty image like a la carte, now these are professional photographers. These are stock images. They can be between $500 and $1,000. So I'm going to guess that NPR is maybe at the lower end of that. I'm going to say $555 is what they're charging.
Man, you know what? You got part of it. It is $50. That's what I'm worth.
Oh, you can afford that. I was astounded because I thought you just grabbed it off the web, off the information superhighway, threw it up on CBS, and somehow somebody narked you out, and then it got to the pencil pushers at NPR, and they already. So we're recording this on a Tuesday. I think you mentioned that at the top of the show. I'd be astounded if a Sunday CBS piece ran, and you got narked on, and it got officially billed within 2 days.
No, the CBS folks went through the proper channels and got the photo of me. The reason why they're invoicing me, I don't really understand, and why right. I'm only worth $50, I'm slightly hurt by.
Yeah, how much is a Morocco?
Oh, dude, a Paula Poundstone. Forget it.
Oh man, forget. I'll trade you a Luke Burbank and a Morocco for one Paula Poundstone. Get out of here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right. I'm very excited about this, Andrew. The quiz, which Rooney said it. I wish I would have thought of a clever name, but I felt like I was so excited yesterday about it's a, literally a seagull. By the way, I almost did another bird-related story today, which is they found the world's loudest bird. But I felt like I had subjected the listeners to plenty of annoying bird sounds. Oh, and I'll mention this. When I got on the airplane, there's some bizarre thing that happens with my phone where I don't know why, but audio that I put into iTunes on my computer will pop up on there. I mean, I understand why that happens, but there's no, it seems to be no rhyme or reason as to what audio migrates and what audio doesn't. If that makes any sense. Like there are plenty of times where I'm trying to listen to something I knew that I downloaded and it doesn't, it's not there. And then yesterday I opened my phone on the plane and I open up iTunes to listen to some music and there's just a giant like tile that says audio drop above it and below it just says seagull copulation.
Like you need that on your little red sound effect box.
Yeah. And the guy next to me looked at it kind of like, okay, hey, whatever floats your boat, bro. Whatever,
sure.
Whatever you need to listen to get through this flight. Anyway, I didn't do that quiz. I didn't do the loudest sound, but I am very excited about which Rooney said it, even though we don't have a clever name for it.
What do we have for music? I didn't pull any music for this.
Well, you know, Mickey Rooney, famously known for his kind of Hollywood movie. Should we just break out the Hollywood type you know, music? Here's what I've got from Mickey Rooney.
I'm going to write a show for us and put it on right here in Seaport.
And I got this one.
Okay. We just do a little hugging and kissing and good, clean fun.
That's what I've got under the Mickey Rooney listing.
I have a whole Mickey Rooney as an artist here on
everything is great, everything is grand, I got the whole wide world.
There's no way this is actually Mickey Rooney. Everything is perfect. It's too new. It's
yeah, no. Is this a song about Mickey Rooney?
No, it's the artist is labeled as Mickey Rooney. That is not Mickey Rooney.
Is an episode of Family Guy about to start?
This is somebody taking Mickey Rooney musicals and modernizing them. I don't quite get what I'm listening to right here. It's supposedly him. What about YouTube? What does that got? Here, this is definitely him. I'm seeing him.
Many songs, Judy and I, and introduced. You have a favorite song that you ever did with Judy Garland? A song that means something very special?
Well, I wrote a song for Judy after she died, and of course that's kind of my favorite song to Judy. But and I'm an ASCAP member, and I've written a lot of unpublished hits.
You wrote a song. And
this, how do you think the quiz is going so far?
I think that this is probably Andy Rooney.
Oh,
is that how the quiz
no,
works?
So close.
Did I nail it?
By the way, that is why we're doing this, because the other day I realized I often confuse the names Mickey Rooney and Andy Rooney. So with a somewhat dearth of content today, I said I could just give you a quick on-the-fly quiz. I haven't prepped this very much. The listeners are going to be surprised to hear. This is something that we just decided to do at the last minute.
Never
so I do
tell the
Andy
listeners
Rooney.
That we have a dearth of content, please. They can hear it for themselves. We've done a loose 17 on various Bad Lieutenant films. On
can I get
Wednesday, October 23rd in the year of our Lord 2019? It's obvious to them we have a dearth of content.
Can I give you a loose 17 on my new radio obsession, which is you know this, Luke, but I don't think I mentioned this on the show yet, that after our window got smashed in our car, we got it repaired at a place called Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace. And after we got the window fixed, I got an email that said, thank you thank you for your patronage. Now you get 2 free months of satellite radio.
Yeah.
So I've been playing around with satellite radio again, and they now have an entire, I haven't had it in like probably 2 years. They have an entire station where they just play Johnny Carson shows. They just play the audio of full Johnny Carson shows. Do you know that?
I did not know that. I didn't know that was a station.
Fascinating.
Really?
It is. I honestly think that you would enjoy it, because you were always more of a kind of a late night talk show appreciator than I was.
Yeah. Would you say it's more interesting than our Which Rooney Said It quiz?
I thought maybe it would add a little bit more excitement to this segment. But okay, are you ready? Are you anxious?
I'm amped.
You're a little nervous.
I'm all those things. I'm nervous. I'm hungry. Okay. I'm tired. I'm excited.
Okay. I'm just trying to get to the... there's not going to be any music for this quiz. There's too much talking on all these clips. Here's the first one. Guess if this is Mickey Rooney or Andy Rooney. Always get married in the morning. That way, if it doesn't work out, you haven't wasted the whole day.
I'm going to say... Andy Rooney.
You're going to say that is Andy Rooney.
I'm sorry,
my friend. That is Mickey Rooney.
Oh.
Always get married in the morning. That way, if it doesn't work out, you haven't wasted the whole day. I'm guessing that he was married a lot, because there are a lot of quotes from him on this page that are all about, like, I said I do, and the minister's like, I know. There's a lot of jokes like that.
Andy Rooney, happily married for 70 years to his desk.
Yeah. Right. One of the first human desk.
Yep.
Actually really broke down a lot of barriers. Yeah. How about this one? If dogs could talk, it would take a lot of fun out of owning one.
Oh, that's got to be Andy Rooney.
You think that's Andy Rooney?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do.
You are correct. You didn't fall for my head fake on that one.
If dogs could talk,
yeah, that's
it would
what
take
I should
a
do.
Lot of fun out of it.
Oh, good squeak there. Good
Thank
Andy
you.
Squeak.
Thank you.
How about this? Computers make it easier to do a lot of things, but most of the things they make it easier to do don't need to be done.
Mickey Rooney in Bringing Home Baby, Port of Call, Galveston.
My God, how did you know that?
Total Recall.
Oh, man. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. That was actually CBS commentator Andy Rooney. I buy women's shoes. No, I'm sorry. I buy women's shoes, and they use them to walk away from me.
Oh.
I buy women's shoes, and they use them to walk away from me.
I'm going to go with, that sounds like Rooney said that.
You think that's one of the Rooneys
who
said
that?
That's
one of the famous Rooneys.
Slightly more specific.
I am going to say that sounds like a thing Mickey Rooney probably said.
You think that was Mickey Rooney? Let's try a double bell for a correct answer on that one.
We just do a little hugging and kissing. I mean, good, clean fun.
How about this one? I don't mind getting punched in the nose by a guy standing in front of me. It's getting stabbed in the back that I can't handle.
Andy Rooney said that in New York City right after being mugged in 1978. It was one of his most heartfelt commentaries.
You think that one was Andy
Rooney?
I'm saying
Andy Rooney.
Andy Rooney. Doesn't mind getting punched in the nose by a guy standing in front of me. It's getting stabbed in the back that I can't handle.
I don't mind getting punched in the nose by a guy standing in front of me.
It was Mickey Rourke. I'm sorry. That one was Mickey Rourke.
Totally.
Yes.
Bad Lieutenant 7. I bet that would be a natural. Like if Nick Cage doesn't want to do the Bad Lieutenant movies anymore, I feel like Rourke could slide right into those DMs.
What is the condition of Rourke? What is the state of the Rourke at this
it
point?
Is strong.
Like, I feel like he's probably more glued together than the old man of the mountain was before he fell, right?
Great New Hampshire reference.
No offense. Like, there's some offense, I guess, but
yeah,
honestly,
see pictures of Mickey Rourke, you know, occasionally it'll like kind of go across the internet, and it is breathtaking. Like, what is going on with him? But he's also like weirdly buff because he works out all the time and probably takes some kind of adductor arachaki supplements. And
right,
so he's like weirdly buff, but then he's just had so much work done, and he's usually carrying a tiny dog, and I feel like I see fear in the eyes of the dog.
Yeah, this is getting really cruel, but I just get the impression that, like, when Mickey Rourke kind of wakes up in the morning and gets out of bed, he's probably just, like, leaving parts of himself in the bed. He just seems like a lot of artifice now, but I don't know. I don't even know if I'm basically right on that, right? What was the last thing he was in?
He
was in some wrestling movie, right?
Yeah, The Wrestler. He could star in the reboot of Face Off, because he can actually take his face off.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Next up. I feel like I'm crushing it. What am I, like seven for seven on this?
I think you're seven for seven. Yeah, how about this one?
Okay.
I don't find myself intriguing.
That's Mickey Rooney in therapy after his fourth divorce. From Judy Garland. They were married and divorced four times in secret. A
lot of context. I'm going to have to break this down by points. It was after the divorce from Judy Garland, but it was actually Rooney Mara who said that. So I'm afraid that you are now you got one wrong.
Okay.
But, seven out of eight, not bad.
Yeah, no, better than
I'm also making those numbers up, by the way. How many actually did we do? We did six. Let me see here. What have I got here? Now I'm just picking these randomly, by the way. God bless the universe. God bless Japanese, Chinese, Indians, all of them, and let's have peace. I didn't even know what I was getting into when I started that quote. Holy shit.
That's definitely some
God
like
bless
Mickey
the
Rooney USO bullshit.
Oh, my God. You are correct. That is Mickey Rooney. God bless the universe. God bless Japanese, Chinese, Indians, all of them, and let's have peace.
He said that from the deck of an aircraft carrier as Mamie Van Doren was tap dancing behind him, addressing the troops.
He won the Nobel Peace Prize for that quote, I believe.
Yep. Yeah.
Elephants and grandchildren never forget.
That's Andy Rooney.
That's Andy Rooney. I even slipped into a little Andy Rooney voice there at the end there. What, I mean,
how much do you think NPR would charge Andy Rooney the rights for an Andy Rooney photo?
That's the estate of Andy Rooney. That's a really good question.
I bet more than $50.
Let me see. What else have we got here? I'm not at all funny. I can do dark comedy pretty well, but straight comedy, I don't know. I'm much darker. I've been like that since I was 3 years old.
Luke Burbank, right before we did this show.
Mm-hmm. No, that's Rooney Mara. I'm just expanding this because the
Rooneyverse
pages for the Mickey
expanding the Rooneyverse
verse. Yeah. So let me see. Write that down.
I am too.
Okay, here's another one. Can I go into a new quote page here? How about this one? You know, I don't know how this quote's going to end, so let's just hope that it's not problematic. You know, when you're young and you think you will always be young, as you become more fragile, you reflect and you realize how much comfort can come from the past.
Wow. Is that Rooney Mara again?
That It's Andy Griffith, actually. That's Andy Griffith. So, yeah. What are you now? Are you 10 out of 12,
yep.
I believe?
I am.
Is that right?
I just won the championship.
Anyone who watches golf on television, and then we're going to end this on this one. This is the last one because this is not going anywhere. Anyone who watches golf on television would enjoy watching the grass grow on the greens.
That's got to be Andy Rooney. And look, he's horning in on my action of making fun of people watching things that are boring.
That's right. Oh, my God. He blazed a path.
He did.
So you could skateboard down it. You are right. That is Andy Rooney.
Andy Rooney complained so that I could fly.
Just like that. That's all there is to it.
So the next time before a show, I say, I think we can just make up a quiz on the fly. I wouldn't worry about it. Maybe we remember this.
I have enjoyed the living heck out of that quiz, Andrew.
Right,
I enjoyed spending this time with you. I can't speak for the listeners.
Don't speak for the
Halloween
listeners.
Costume ideas from Demi Did You eBay. And by the way, who explained to us the helpful mnemonic for saying Demi's last name?
Oh, a listener sent that in a long time ago, and I said I would never forget it, and then I forgot it. But when I just looked him up, I think I just Googled Demi Did You eBay, and it's on one of his profiles. He has the pronouncer on, his what's the L.A. comedy, the famous L.A. comedy?
Largo.
Troop, or the well, whatever.
Groundlings. He's a second.
Yeah, it might be Groundlings. It's second. Whatever. In his bio, he had in there, and it's very easy to remember once you know that kind of mnemonic device.
I'm going to go down to the front desk and just say, "Are you familiar with Electro Lemon on Twitter?" Oh, you mean Demi Adiju Ibe? I just want to show off to everybody that I can finally say his name. Okay, so he put out a list of Halloween costume ideas on Twitter. And actually, let me see if I can find the exact content of the tweet, because it was kind of funny, too, the way he described it. Let's see here. Okay.
UCB, by the way. He was in UCB.
Still need a Halloween costume? Here are 28 ideas I gave to friends who called them, quote, too complex, or stop trying to make me do blackface. so that was the setup for some of these. Fiona Apple. Fiona from Shrek. And then you wear a Steve Jobs turtleneck and jeans.
Oh, wow. I didn't think it was going there.
Fiona Apple. How about Frida Khaled? Unibrow, flower crown, Adidas tracksuit, gold chains.
You know you beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Oprah Winfrey the Pooh. Oprah, but don't wear pants.
You're in trouble.
Hawaii 5L. Mouse whiskers, oversized fisherman's cap, Hawaiian shirt, badge, and gun.
Oh, is that American Tail?
It's a 5-0 Goes West Hawaii 5-0 mashup, I believe. I mean, I honestly these would be really funny to wear. You'd have to explain it the whole night, but I bet you that you'd get a good reaction. I love how clever these are. Lisa Kudrow's golly, and then he just puts question marks. He doesn't know what you wear when you're being Lisa Kudrow's golly, but it's a strong start.
By the way, what are you doing for Halloween this year?
I don't know. Let's see. Last year I passed out on my floor of the TV room.
That's right. That's a anniversary for you, isn't it?
That's going to be my new costume every year.
Right. Rock bottom.
Yeah.
Dress up like a rock.
Yep.
With a down arrow.
That's right. $1 million boss baby. Boxing gloves, neck brace, suit, jacket, diaper.
I never saw Boss Baby. Is that the one that was
Alec Baldwin,
voiced by Alec Baldwin? Yeah.
How about Rachel McAdams? Blonde hair and blackface.
Stop trying to get me to wear black.
And then he lists multiracial McAdams. Blonde hair, very light blackface. Kellyanne Conway, blonde wig, general loathsome nature, red blazer, gold chains.
I'll tell you what, Kanye is moving closer and closer to Kellyanne Conway.
I know, right? How about Liv Tyler, the creator? 5-panel cap, floral shirt, shorts, box of animal crackers.
I don't know the animal crackers.
And then Minion Dollar Baby, yellow shirt, denim overalls,
oh, nice.
Neck brace, boxing gloves.
Nice.
I think those are kind of the best ones. So there you go.
Good.
Those are all ideas. You're not going to dress up this Halloween, are you?
Nope. I don't really do Halloween. You know, I have a, my relationship with the world is complicated. I hate Halloween. I always make myself scarce for Halloween. Genevieve loves Halloween, really leans into it. Last year, if you'll recall, I went to Ohio when Genevieve threw a Halloween party. She told me, hey, I'm going to throw a Halloween party. I'm like, okay, that sounds like something I don't want to be here for. So I went to Ohio and spent some time with my family who I hadn't seen in a long time. But this year, though, we were having lunch this Saturday, and I said, well, what are you doing for Halloween? It just occurred to me that this is like, 10 days away. And she said, yeah, I don't know yet. Apparently, she's had a costume picked out for months now and has already she had it set in the summertime and she's been getting all the things shipped to her. I'm stalling because I'm blanking on what it is, but like she seems like all dressed up and nowhere to go. Like it sounds like she might not even use this Halloween costume, and I feel bad. Not that she asked to throw a party this year or showed any indication that she was going to, but like it's like I don't give a shit about Halloween, but I know Genevieve cares about it, and it sort of sounds like there's just going to be like no Halloween this year. And
what about being a good partner and just pushing through your discomfort and dressing up like Danny Trejo and going shirtless around the neighborhood trick-or-treating so that Genevieve can do her costume?
Yeah. I'll think about that.
Are you not at liberty to say what the costume is?
No, I am. I'm just mad at myself because I started that story and now I can't or that part of the story and now I can't remember what the hell her costume is, and it's just lame that I can't think of it.
I think you could dress up as Columbo every year. I mean, if you want. I think it would just be, you can go back to that well because it works for you.
I did do that once as an adult. I did it once as a kid. I don't think you didn't see my Columbo as an adult, right? But did you know that I had done that?
I saw a picture of it. Yeah, I did
know.
Yeah. Because it's like famously the one time you dressed up for Halloween.
Yeah, no, I mean, I did other things too as an adult. I'm trying to think. I was a lizard man one year because my brother-in-law was going to be a lizard boy, and at the very last minute, I was like, all right, if I'm going to this party, then I should have some sort of a costume. So I became lizard man to his lizard boy, which mostly just meant me spray painting a briefcase bright green and Genevieve sewing a tail to a green sport coat that I had laying around. I assume most people have green sport coats laying around.
Yeah,
in
right.
Case. It was a green plaid sport coat, as a matter of fact. I wore it for Easter in like 10th grade. I loved that thing. Wore it as an adult, too. Can't wear it anymore. It's got a tail attached to it.
Was that Genevieve's way of taking that blazer out of the rotation?
That was really two birds with one stone because she did not like that blazer. It was real used car salesman-y. But I got it at the Gap. It was like a real like kind of late 90s purchase.
Yeah.
It seemed right at the time. Also, I think when I bought it, it was one of those rare cases where I bought the entire mannequin set. Like whatever they had this mannequin spiffed up at the Gap, it was like, some sort of these kind of bold colors and patterns that just worked together, and I was like, I'll take one of those. Literally the only time in my life I think I did that. Then the other things fell by the wayside, and I just had the jacket, which was just incredibly comfortable, but real used car salesman-y.
You could tell people you won the Masters, and that's how you got the jacket.
Yeah,
it sounds like
I did.
Something that you get if you win a golf tournament.
Yes, definitely. Now I miss that jacket. All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email every week. I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. Not from a female.
Any emails of note on this Wednesday edition of the program?
I'm so glad you asked. I have some great, great emails to share with you today, including this one that came from Heather, who, what was the subject line on her? So something like how garbage anxiety almost got my 11 arrested.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to this. More garbage talk about how being the garbage police nearly got my 11/husband arrested. I think this fits well into the TBTL universe. Can you turn down the music a little bit from your end? It's kind of coming down pretty loud over here. We live in a college town, and not to brag, on a pretty nice street. On our block, there was one commercial building that housed a small bagel shop that was open after last call for the bars. The college students would stop at the shop on their way back to campus for hangover prevention. Greasy breakfast sandwiches, Snapple, etc. Keep an eye on that Snapple, by the way. That's going to come back later. Okay. Students would eat in the street or on the walk home, and then they'd leave their trash along the way. All the owners on the block were very unhappy about this trash situation. My husband is more Andrew than Andrew about trash and trash cans. He and other neighbors repeatedly asked the shop owner to put a trash can outside in hopes that the students would use it instead of leaving trash on the street or in our yards. The owner refused, and that's when things went downhill. Can you imagine just like refusing to put a garbage can outside your damn business? Like
that's really weird. Like, that's bad. That's being a very bad neighbor.
Yeah. So my husband would jump out of bed each Saturday and Sunday morning to collect all the trash left behind on our block. If the shop was open, he would carry it in and dump it all on the counter, Snapple bottles rolling everywhere. If the shop was closed, he'd pile it all on the stoop.
Wow. Dump it on the counter.
I love this. Like a big bag of letters to Santa. Just throw that shit on the counter. One Saturday, I was upstairs and I heard my husband and another man talking. I heard dumping Snapple bottles and it caught my attention. Upon investigation, I was shocked to see a police officer in my kitchen.
Oh, man.
The owner had called. You never want to see a cop in your kitchen unless you're related to that person. The owner had called 911 and wanted my husband arrested for being the garbage police. Who polices the garbage police? Mm-hmm. Being a small town, the cop knew my husband and wanted to caution him against any further garbage antics, no matter how well-meaning. Shortly after, the shop closed and my weekend mornings were peaceful again. Power out.
Wow.
Heather, a pen 10.
I mean,
now
here's the thing. I know you have thoughts on this as the garbage ambassador for the show, so I don't mean to step on that. But I understand the frustration, and if it was happening on my street, I would be pissed. But there is also a problem, which is you don't technically know what garbage came from where, right? So I kind of – like the shop owner should have just put a stinking garbage can outside. That would have fixed the problem, right? But also, if you're just carrying random trash in there, he's probably like, well, maybe that didn't even come from my store.
Yeah, no, I mean, legally, you don't really have much of a... I mean, from a legal perspective, you don't have much of a foot to stand on here, a leg to stand on. But from a garbage legal perspective, I think that he's in the right. And that's where these two, like, kind of different legal systems collide. By the way, Heather puts a
postscript?
Postscript, yeah. This husband of mine, this 11, is the boss in the email you read on the show a while back. The boss that she's talking about, she does not refer to him in this other email that we read on the show. She never mentions that this person is her husband/11. But we read a story about a uniform delivery guy who came into somebody's office place, delivered the uniforms, used the restroom, and peed on the seat and didn't clean it up. Yeah. And then the boss marched outside and got that delivery person, had him come back inside and clean it up, and reprimanded him in front of everybody. That's the same person who was dumping all the garbage in the shop.
That guy is, I'd say, one incident away from some kind of heart attack. That is a person who is definitely getting worked up about stuff. And, you know, rightfully so, but that can't be great for your health.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I can obviously relate to this so much. I mean, I go through the world thinking that, like, I'm the only person doing things right out in public. So when I see other people break the quote-unquote rules, you know, I internalize that. I get really upset. I'm trying to do less of that and trying to get less into kind of these petty arguments. I can both relate to this, but I also see both of these as like kind of cautionary tales for me.
Right. Like Angry Dad, right? Speaking of The Simpsons, wasn't there a video game on The Simpsons called Angry Dad or something? Something happens with Homer where he gets really, really mad and it becomes kind of a meme or something. This is a long time ago, maybe before memes were a thing, but... and it's just him just raging out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was like in the very heavy I'm strangling Bart days. I have a vague memory of that. Yeah. Let me read one more thing for you and play you something here. This was tweeted at us by listener JJ. We were playing that Scatman John video on the show on Monday, I think. Mm-hmm. That was from Japan, where there was a Japanese impersonator on some impersonation game show doing a Scatman John, and then the real Scatman John came out and surprised the audience. And you were saying that Scatman John must be big in Japan, and that a lot of scatting can just translate, right? You don't have a language barrier there. Well, that sent some listeners a Google in, and JJ says, I'm only at the very top of this rabbit hole right now, but Scatman John was huge in Japan. Here's a commercial he was in for cream pudding. Would you like to hear Scatman John in a cream pudding commercial?
It's literally why I got out of bed this morning, was to hear this.
Okay, I was going to say, if you said no, that would be so problematic for this segment. Okay, here it is. It looks like it's maybe pre is maybe the product.
Everybody pooching pop up, everybody bling bling, pooching pop up every time, bling bling, pop up a pop up baby, da 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 da, yeah, pooching pop up, everybody bling bling, pooching pop up, all together, bling together, pop up a baby, ba 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 ba, ding 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 ding.
So that was definitely Scatman's world.
That was
right?
Definitely Andy Rooney.
Yeah, 100%. That was Rooney Mara. Sorry, man.
Man, this the Scatman story just keeps on. It's just the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. I was listening to his first record, by the way, which you can find online, I believe, is not all produced in electronic. It's like a jazz record where it's just him behind a piano. Have you heard it? We don't have time to get into it today. Maybe I'll pull some of that and play it for you in future shows. It's an incredible. It's a totally different vibe.
I look forward to it. I'm my only regret, and it's the only regret I have in my life, which people may find surprising, because I've lived a very regrettable life. But the only regret I have is that I didn't find out about Scatman John until about 6 months ago.
You know, I've thought about that. I disagree. I think the reason we are so fascinated and enjoy Scatman John so much is because of the way he came into our universe, and now we can explore his back catalog.
Sure.
I think if we grew up just knowing about it, it wouldn't be as special to us.
It's a real goodbye Norma Jean, Candle in the Wind type situation.
How so?
Well, that's Candle in the Wind is sort of about how, you know, the mystique of Marilyn Monroe. Because she lived her life like a candle in the wind, and she was gone, so she sort of become mythical. Whereas if she was just like 75 and living in Ojai, California, there'd be less sort of mythology around her.
Yeah, I totally buy that.
It's sort of like the song "Goodbye England's Rose," which is the same song.
You know
about
what?
Princess
now Star. That you mention it, I notice some similarities between those songs.
Yeah,
somebody should explore that.
Yeah. Boy, Elton John is doing so much publicity right now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, what's going on with him? Why I just saw his name again.
I think
today.
He has a book out, but it's pretty funny because, like, I didn't know who was talking. I knew it was a British person, and I turned on the radio, and I knew it was a British famous person. But he was telling the story of getting really high on coke and trying to convince Bob Dylan to stop wearing the outfits Bob Dylan was wearing. Like,
what
bringing
were they, like,
Bob,
I don't know, too folky, too
country?
Yeah,
I think they were kind of ragamuffin or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he just, like, coked up trying to get Bob Dylan to wear different clothes. And he said Bob Dylan was very offended by that.
Can you imagine the world we'd live in if Bob Dylan had taken his advice?
Yeah.
If he was coming out like the pinball wizard?
Hey, Nehru Collar. Wow. It's like second Bob Dylan impersonation this week, which is two more than the listeners want. All right. Should we go with an Elton John song?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I had words ready here. What is your favorite Elton John?
Well, honestly, I wouldn't say I'm an Elton John head, but there are, I mean, Goodbye England's Rose comes to mind. What else? No, what are some names?
Well, you
about
got Rocket Man. Oh, Rocket Man. You got Rocket Man, which is, I mean, that's my favorite, obviously. Yeah. Tiny Dancer.
Ooh,
I'm Still Standing.
Good.
Actually, I could go with either one of those. Rocket Man, I love, but I feel like
it's a little emo.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I love it, but it would be fun to do something slightly more interesting than that. I loved Benny and the Jets and Crocodile Rock.
Let's
but Crocodile
do Benny
Rock
and the Jets.
Is. Okay, let's do that. Okay. Benny! By the way,
actually,
I don't think there's
play
a
it,
non.
Just sing it.
Okay. That's my favorite part of the song. Is this the one where I don't think there's a non-live version of Benny and the Jets? Let me see here when I play this. Is this in front of a crowd? I think the famous version of Benny and the Jets never was recorded in a studio. I think it's always been this live version.
Yeah, I like it. I like how kind of I like the piano in this. Like the kind of I don't know what you'd call it. I don't know how to describe music, but the
percussive.
The phrasing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about the empty spaces. It's about the times he's not playing piano, I think, is what comes to mind. All right. Thank you, everyone, for tolerating this edition of TBTL. We're going to be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio. There's so much we haven't yet explored about people named Rooney. Look for that. We're going to play audio from the band Rooney. We're going to talk about Art Rooney, who owned the Pittsburgh Steelers. Or I think John Rooney might have been his name. Anyway, there's just so much to look forward to on tomorrow's program. So we hope you'll be able to
join
us.
How Rooney?
Is that the show title?
Maybe we should call this show How Rooney.
How Rooney.
that's good.
My Bob Dylan impression. Nailed it. So are you going to go with, How Rooney? Not expanding the Rooneyverse or hoisted by your own pajoke.
How Rooney, and what I also wrote, Albino Mudslide, but that's probably not good. And then Never Not Nude I wrote. Yeah, okay, let's go with How Rooney.
Love it. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. Until then, enjoy your Wednesday, and please remember to mount too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.